Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This is Paul Hawksby.
And Andy Jacobs.
And welcome once again to the H&J Daily, some of the best bits of this afternoon's show. Well, of course, we reflected on the Champions League drama in Amsterdam last night. We did that. We also were joined by a jazz musician, a TalkSport listener, who's got a new album out with a football theme, a guy called Tom Corley.
That's right.
He was very good.
Lincoln's very good. And I did a bit more royal news. That's my last bit of royal baby news.
Good, okay. And what else did we do? Oh, yeah, Shane Williams, the former Wales wing, has been playing rugby at the top of Everest. Well, pretty close to the top of Everest, closer than we are anyway. And he talked about...
We are on the 17th floor.
Yeah, but still, yeah, I don't compare that. We made base camp on the 15th floor. Would we ever reach the summit? Well, we might if we went two floors up in a lift. So, yeah, we spoke to Shane. He played rugby up Everest and talked about the practicalities of it. So here it all is.
Congratulations.
I didn't play. A few people have congratulated me. I played no part.
It doesn't matter. You've played a part because you've followed this club all your life.
Yeah.
And this is going to be potentially the greatest, as it was for us in Munich in 2012, the greatest night of your football supporting life with a bit of luck.
Well, possibly.
Yeah.
Win or lose, hopefully it'll be an enjoyable experience.
Oh, yeah, of course it will. You know, Liverpool, I suppose, you because of their league position and how much they finished ahead of time.
The depth of their squad.
Of their squad. You'd make them favourites. You would. And I know you think probably that will be the case, but I told you earlier, you look at Chelsea in 2000.
No, I'm not saying I don't think you can deny that they have a stronger, deeper squad, but that doesn't mean I think they're going to win, because I don't know, because after the last few nights all bets are off, really.
It was incredible, wasn't it? I mean, absolutely. I could honestly, you know, I only have love for one club, but and I have quite a lot of antipathy for all the rest of them, but honestly I couldn't have celebrated more last night if that had been Chelsea. We went absolutely mad.
It was just so brilliant.
That's why it was such a...
Well, I was a bit like that with Liverpool the night before. You know, you get, it's about the football, you just get into the moment, don't you? I mean, look, unless you're an Evertonian in that environment, you are going to go mad when Liverpool do that, unless you're an Arsenal fan. Mike Boville, goal at the Emirates, is a slightly broken man. He's going to drink himself into oblivion that day at a rugby match. He's going to basically lose consciousness.
Just enjoy it. We're going through a golden age of football. We're going to talk about this with Paddy Barkley. It's been a wonderful World Cup. It's been a golden season in the Champions League. The Premier League has been utterly brilliant. I mean, it's been a wonderful time. Football now has evolved again. It's such a passionate, such a fast moving, it's this pressing thing that people are playing to win. It's exciting and it's been a brilliant season. But you all know when you follow football, we've had this with our teams, when Ziyech hit the post, you just went, oh, I know what's going to happen here. This is Tottenham tonight.
You felt it at that point.
Of course,
you know,
because they had, and Lloris made some great saves as well.
What about when Vertonghen hit the bar
and then couldn't
get it over the line? That's when you. Because, you know, I've just been so conditioned over the years as a Spurs fans to be the one on the end of goals like that, because, you know, I always used to say, if you're an Arsenal fan, I family members are Arsenal fans, they're the team that score in the last minute, and Tottenham, it was in our DNA, we were the side that conceded in the last minute.
This is a complete, but Poch has changed the whole mindset of Tottenham. There's no question about that. They're a different team. They're a different, the way they approach. They've not been brilliant this season, Spurs, but they've somehow found a way in many games. I said to you at half time last night, the Tottenham that beat Chelsea and beat Dortmund and everything, would have absolutely, I think, slaughtered Ajax. But that wasn't the same team last night, nowhere near. But they still found a way.
Yeah.
I tell you, it was good last night. I wrote this very early on. Dele Alli, it was great to see him back. That's the best he's played for months, I think.
It was. I mean, I was saying to the guy, I popped up on the sports bar last night, probably didn't make a lot of sense, but... I did say that Dele Alli showed signs in the first half against Bournemouth before it all went madly pear-shaped.
Yeah, just showing little signs. I saw that too.
He's just started to look like... I mean, he's got his game going right at the end of the season. Maybe he's peaking at the right point. But among the kind of conversations I had last night was one with Mark Bright, who got in touch after the game, and we were to-ing and fro-ing. And I hope he doesn't mind me sharing this, but I was making that point that we've tended to be the side on the wrong end of these things. And he said, these are special moments in our lives, let alone football. I feel sorry for those that don't like football. And you know what I mean? After a week like this...
Someone else said that to me.
People are just missing out.
Yeah, and my friend said that to me. And I said that. I said, I'm inside going mad and my wife's sitting inside completely oblivious. So, if you don't like football, you don't like football. You don't get it. That's fine. I do think, though, last night I wrote at halftime, you need Wally Downs to come on and do the half-time talk, lump it. And in a sense, that is what they did, and I'm not sure lumping it long to Llorente will work against Van Dijk and...
won't be as effective, but...
Matip, brother. But that's the thing about De Ligt. I mean, what a brilliant player he is, but blimey, he was exposed by Llorente. Llorente won every single ball in both games.
There's this fallacy. I was just talking to Stuart Robson outside before he went on with Jim about Llorente, that he's a target man. He's not. When he's facing goal or he's got a header on goal, he's generally quite terrible. Mm. I mean, there was a classic case in the first game last week where he asked for the ball. He was on the edge of the box. He put his arm up, waited for the cross from Danny Rose, then never got there. When he got there, he so badly timed his run. It was appalling. So a couple of times last night you saw him head over the bar, which were fairly simple chances.
From corners and things,
but with back to goal, I mean, that's his job. That's what he's good at. I think, not necessarily facing it, but no, certainly he's
holding
back
it
goal.
Up. Holding
he
it.
Did brilliantly last night. And we're going to talk about Lucas Moura in a moment. We're going to head back to Tim Vickery because we'll play the Brazilian commentary. If you've seen the little bit, a nice bit of footage actually in the mix zone last night, the Brazilian press, just before Moose is in the video, just before Moose got to Lucas Moura, the Brazilian press did, and they put the kind of headphones on him, and he listened to the Brazilian commentary and got a bit emotional. But we'll hear some of that commentary and see what they're saying in Brazil today, because one of their players has scored a hat-trick in a Champions League semi-final, and I'm sure there's a fair bit of fallout from that today.
That's true. And, of course, we all, it was great to see Glenn Hoddle. It's great to just see him back there. But it was...
To say I'm just pleased I witnessed
it. I'm so glad I'm still alive to see that. It was tremendous. You never have a heart of stone not to be moved by that. You would.
So what do you reckon tonight be your boys then? I've told you 3-0.
No, I don't know about that.
They got gubbed at the weekend.
The only thing I'd say to you is Frankfurt and Valencia will be inspired by these comebacks this week. Their managers, if I was a manager of either of those two teams, I'd be saying, look what happened. It's possible. And also it's only 1-1. Chelsea's still got to score tonight. Well, 0-0 would do it. But I think they were very good, Frankfurt, for half an hour, and then Chelsea dominated. If Chelsea turn up and play, they'll win the game. Yeah. Same with Arsenal. If Arsenal defend well, they'll win the game.
Sense Arsenal, if they concede early, some of that self-doubt might creep in.
Do you not think Arsenal will score? I think Arsenal will.
I think they will.
Lacazette and Aubameyang always going to get a goal.
But 3-1, if Valencia got their tails up quite early. I don't actually see it. I think Arsenal will get through it. But
after what we've seen the last two nights, we won't bet against anything. So,
well, Tottenham were clearly inspired by Liverpool, and every other coach is going to be saying what Pochettino said last night. Look at Liverpool, anything's possible.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
Anyway.
I do think, finally, this little bit, this letter, and I've seen a lot of this about, and it's just so, the thinking's so mad. Di Woozenham from Grimsby wrote to The Sun about, he was talking about the Liverpool game. He said, what a game. I was not surprised to see such guts displayed from a British team. It makes me laugh that some people think our country, think Britain cannot go it alone without Brexit. You think, you could argue it was a triumph of Anglo-foreign cooperation.
Yeah.
Of all the scorers were Belgian, Dutch and Brazilian, and the managers were German and Argentinian. So, do you know what I mean? I don't think that's really called for, but there you go.
Know what you mean.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
We've got time for this.
Andy's Nap. Yeah, Andy's Nap. We should get a little trail for this at some point. Get Steve Hartley to say Andy's Nap. This is a horse that has absolutely no chance of winning because Andy's tipped it up with absolutely no knowledge effort. So what have we gone for today, Andy, in the 150 at Chester?
I'm going in tribute to Tim Vickery's voice, number 6, Growl 12, written by Paul Hannigan.
Does it have a chance?
No.
Okay, fair enough.
12-1 it should go off. Yeah,
okay, so great. No, you got fourth yesterday. You're getting closer. You've had a couple of ranked lasts, haven't you? Quite a few, actually. Ninth out of nine, I think, was your best so far. For a horse that was favourite, that really does take some
that
doing.
Does take some doing,
so
yeah.
Please don't do gamble responsibly, which means don't gamble on any of Andy's horses. It's just a bit of fun. We are here with Greene King, broadcasting all the big football games, including this week's Champions League semi-final action and indeed Europa League action tonight. They're your home of football. Andy, what else do you want to talk about today?
Well, you don't get many opportunities on live radio to say congratulations to Helmut Wenschitz.
You don't.
You don't.
And there's probably a reason for that.
His 40-foot chocolate waterfall set a world record in Austria.
Did
it's not really sport, is it? But I just love his name.
Wow.
Yes.
Never seen a chocolate waterfall,
Yes, no, you do. Have you never been to a wedding when there are those chocolate, and then you dip something in it, and it's a big sort of chocolate... You've never seen that at a wedding? It's a bit like, I know you normally get a vodka and with ice statue, but
yeah.
This is a similar idea.
I tend to go to weddings where there's a pay bar at 10 o'clock. So I tend not to get to those kind of weddings where they have a chocolate waterfall, Andy. That's a messy business, isn't it?
Well,
to get a bit of splashback on the bride's dress, that's not a good look, is it, really?
Very messy business, question.
Yeah.
Okay. And a lot of royal news, and I'm very interested to see what school the royal baby goes to.
Yeah.
I'm just dying to know who will be educating Archie.
Oh, come on. There's a beautiful reference there.
Even before I was
Norman
born.
Norman Gill has just fallen
history.
Off of his chair. This was a ventriloquism on the radio in the 40s and 50s? 50s?
Yeah. Peter Brough.
So Andy's doing real zeitgeisty gags based on old reference from the 50s.
Look it up. Anyway,
Adrian said the baby should have been called Raheem.
That's a very good idea.
He went down that route. Goffey was quite happy with Archie.
Okay, who amongst the H&J team gave up when the score was 2-0 with a 3-goal aggregate last night? Who do you think that might be? Gave up to do some other chores?
Would it be the producer?
It was, yeah.
Yeah, well, he's not a massive football fan, really. He's only interested in Torquay.
He's a massive Torquay fan.
Yeah, there is nothing else. What chores did he undertake? Allow you to be within sight of a TV, or did you go do some shopping?
I think he had some paperwork.
Oh, did he really?
Well, it was the end of the season for the National Obsession, so they have to tie up all
doing
the
company
ends.
Accounts, was
doing
he?
The National Obsession company
really?
Accounts.
Oh, ye of little faith. I never doubted for a minute. If only that were true.
You had to keep watching, didn't you? You always do. Now, news of...
I was imploring Matt Scott to write the first chapter of his book, Eight Goal Swing, to start fleshing it out half time. Of course, this is the book that we think Matt, the big Arsenal supporting journalist, friend of the show, will write after Sunday's game when Arsenal carry off their eighth goal swing and then finish fourth in the league. Then Spurs go and win the Champions League, and then they're not in the Champions League.
It'd be good. I mean, I must say, I do like Matt, but he was so bitter last night on Twitter.
I think he was bitter at Jeremy Corbyn, who took to Twitter to say, I think we can all salute. Even as an Arsenal fan, I salute Spurs. It didn't go down massively well with the Arsenal fans.
Not really, no.
Yeah.
Meghan's post-pregnancy outfit, according to Gabrielle Dervanouskas in The Sun, she's the fashion verdict.
Big rugby league fan.
Was eagerly awaited. You think about who's eagerly... I don't know.
People in the fashion business.
Oh, it can't have been anybody who was eagerly awaiting.
Of course they would. That's their bread and butter. You eagerly awaited two Champions League semi. You're eagerly awaiting Chelsea versus Eintracht Frankfurt. Yeah. She's eagerly awaiting fashion stuff.
Well, she is, but not that many other people would know. I don't think so, really.
Well, we beg to differ.
And there's a royal baby souvenir poster. Doesn't anyone actually frame these things? Because, I mean, they are... They're printed on newspaper. They're not exactly something, you know, I might buy myself
a poster. Are
they
for framing or just as a collector's item?
Collector's
don't necessarily
item.
Frame old newspaper cutting.
And Archie was swaddled. I love the detail, extraneous detail. Archie was swaddled in a £105 shawl. That's a lot of money for a shawl. It's made by the same
man. This is like a letter to the tabloids, isn't it? You're basically saying what happened and then just giving a sort of... half-baked comment about it.
That's fair enough, isn't it?
Probably not in royal circles, £105 for a shawl.
Well, it's a lot, really.
Isn't the old thing is to use like Nan's old shawl or something like that? You often go back and you use something from the family, don't you? That's what you swaddle the kids
That's
in.
What you should do.
Not enough swaddling goes on,
no,
is it?
Not
really?
It's
not a word that's not
popular,
been used on
really.
Talk Sport for quite a while, that word.
I think it's ever been used on Talk Sport, along with that bloke who's had the chocolate fountain.
Matt Scott says he'll write it if I write the forward. Well, that's
good old Matt.
Well, we'll have to see what happens on Sunday. Although it's going to be a bit of an odd day because the Evertonians are going to be singing for Spurs to go and win the Champions League. So it's going to be quite an odd atmosphere, isn't it?
I mean, it's good. I mean, in one way, it's good that Spurs won because it would have been a very difficult game on Sunday. I mean, still a very difficult game, I think. And they're going to be tired. They're going to have a lot of emotion.
Of course.
Everton are right up for it. So you've got to be careful. You know, you've got to be careful.
Yeah, I agree.
I could see Spurs not winning that game. What I can't see is Arsenal going to Burnley and winning 5-4, 5-0, yeah.
Okay. Chocolate waterfall, says Mark. Does that only mean a chocolate fountain?
Well, according to... I didn't write the piece. Let's have a look. Where is he? See if I can find him.
I think they are chocolate. I've seen the chocolate fountain before.
Well, I took it to mean the same thing.
Cheap one years ago, a small thing. But
You know, chocolate fountain, chocolate waterfall.
What's a big difference between
Helmets,
a fountain?
Helmets was 40 foot. I'm not going to say his last name again.
Yeah, was it really? So, did they call it a waterfall in that? Well, or do they call it a
Helmet
fountain?
Helmet does. He calls it a waterfall.
Oh, yeah, well, Helmet's English is a bit sketchy, isn't it, really? I think you're right, Mark. I think it was probably because, you know, he said fountain, waterfall. I mean, you'd have a hell of a shock if you went to Trafalgar Square, Andy, expecting to see a kind of little mini Niagara, because they are quite different.
They are quite different. Can I just make my last comment on the Royal News? I won't make any more comments. But
okay. I think you're on slightly rocky ground, but keep going.
I did like this bloke, Royal commentator Omid Scobie. I love these Royal correspondents because it's like they know them.
He didn't have a Scobie, is that what you're saying?
He says, it'll be a quiet day in terms of announcements, and the official photo call is not far away. Well, it was that day, Omid, to be honest. Until then, Harry and Meghan are quietly enjoying private time at Frogmore Cottage with their new son. I'm told their first night as a family of three was peaceful and... How do you know? Really, honestly, how do you know Omid Scobie? You haven't got a clue. You haven't got a scope.
You haven't got a scope. See, I was right to start with. Unfortunately, Andy's nap was not a winner today. The winner was Mahoob. The 22-1 outsider, Mahoob.
Mahoob.
Followed by Copper Knights and Confessional. Where did Andy finish? Do we know where Andy finished? No. Yeah, he was still running, apparently. Yeah.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
When you've just played rugby up Everest, you deserve some airtime. It is. A man who's popped in to see us in the studio many times, former Wales wing, Shane Williams. Hi, Shane.
Hi, guys.
So, what an experience. I mean, what was it like? You were at playing at just over 20,000 feet.
It's as difficult as it sounds, really. Everest Advanced Base Camp was something that was always on my bucket list, but to play a rugby match at the base camp was something else, really. Most picturesque pitch certainly I played on, however, it was blooming tough, let me tell you. Blowing out of my backside most of the time, but
we did it.
Raised a lot of money for the Wooden Spoon charity, so I'm chuffed.
Brilliant.
Now, yeah, everybody's worried about 20,000 feet. You know,
yeah, exactly. The air's going to be thin, and everybody's worried about kicking. I'm saying the ball flies further, and it's not easy to get it back when it goes over the side of a ravine, is it? Really? Because the air's thinner, it's going to fly further, so no one was kicking for touch.
Yeah, well, put it this way, I didn't have the energy to kick the ball, run with it, or make a tackle anyway, so it didn't really matter. But no, it was just the most bizarre thing ever. You know, the day before we actually played the game, we had to send a couple of people onto the pitch, all roped up together to check for crevasses and holes in the ice. So it was quite scary at times. But you know, we had people up there that. I'd work, you know, worked really hard to raise lots of funds for the charity, and you know, it was tough to get up there initially as well. So to play the game was really a feat by everyone else as well. But we loved it, absolutely loved it, and like I say, we were successful in having it as a Guinness record as well. So I was very proud of everyone.
Brilliant! The photos are wonderful as well. And how on earth did you get the rugby posts up there?
Well, yeah. We all pitched in. You know, lucky enough, the Sherpas were a little bit fitter than we were. We roped those guys in to carry most of the baggage and of course the yaks. And like I say, it was a combined effort really, but it took its toll. We had a lot of people up there that you know, spent 2 or 3 years training for this that unfortunately didn't make the top because they were either through illness or altitude sickness or whatever else as well. We actually lost one of the guys. We had to put him on a yak and send him back down as well to go to hospital in Kathmandu. So it was really tough. You know, it was. You know, Everest is always going to be very hard anyway, but this was a lot tougher than we expected. So we all chipped in. We broke the record and we all did a great job.
Yeah. Was it five all, I understand the game was in the end?
It was one try all, yeah. I think... honestly, it was one of those where you couldn't run on the up on there. The altitude was just too tough, you know. So yeah, we went 1-0 down quite early on in the game, and I was just praying that somebody had a little bit of energy to get over there and score a try for us. And that's what happened in the end. So 5-5, true reflection. And when the final whistle went, there was no one that wanted an extra time, let me tell you.
I wonder what the Sherpas make of it. I mean, most of the work they do will be people who want to climb the mountain. That's the bread and butter. But that first contact that comes in from the head Sherpa to his team, right, today we're taking up something called rugby posts up the base camp, and they're going to have a game of something called rugby. I just think, yeah, I'm kind of used to it by now. More just another mad thing to do. Were they aware of the game? Did any of them know what was going on?
They initially weren't aware. They were looking at us silly, really, when we got these rugby posts out and let them know that they had to take them to the top of the mountain. But the funny thing about it was, in the end, we had so many... so many of the fundraisers that were ill or injured that we actually roped in three Sherpas to play the game. And unfortunately for us, they were running rings around everyone, but thank God they didn't know the rules of the game. Otherwise, the Sherpas would have taken all the plaudits, I think. But, yeah. You know, at the end, they loved the fact that they were part of something very special. You know, they helped raise a lot of money for the Wooden Spoon charity and, of course, the Guinness record holders now as well. So it was an added bonus for them.
I can't believe you set up a full-size pitch in those conditions.
Yeah.
You know, that was a very bold thing to do. I suppose it had to be the world record.
Yeah, well, I was on the foothill of Everest as well. Literally, you know, you could see Everest from where the field was. The funny thing about it as well was that it took so much effort to mark out the pitch, you know, put the posts up, drill them into the ice and everything. By the time we'd finished putting the pitch up, no one wanted to play a rugby game. We were so tired, honestly. But it was a combined effort. And look, this meant a lot to a lot of these people, you know, that were involved in this charity. We definitely had to put the work in. We had to work our socks off to get up there. And then, you know, just having the record at the end of the day as well was just the cherry on the top, really. And it just goes to show how much this meant to everyone that took part in the charity.
Yeah. Just on the general rugby front, Shane, what have you made of what's going on with Sean Edwards? He's going to be, looks like he's been linking up with France after the 2019 World Cup. It's surprising that maybe the RFU have not tried to get him involved.
Oh, look, without doubt, look, I'm biased in the sense that I was there in 2008 when Sean got involved in the Welsh team. For me personally, he's one of the best coaches I've worked with. Defensively, he made me a much better player. He made the national team a much better better team. And, you know, when I knew Warren Gatland was finishing, I was kind of had my fingers crossed that Sean Edwards would remain part of that Welsh team because he still has a lot to offer. Wales' defence in the Six Nations was one of the reasons they won it. So, yeah, a bit disappointing. It just means that a good coach is going to a team in which we don't really want them to progress. We'd want them to improve that much because we're going to keep beating them in the Six Nations. But, he's a great coach and he'll do a great job wherever he is.
Good stuff. Well, good to talk to you, Shane. Thanks very much for joining us.
Pleasure, guys. Thanks very much.
There we are. Fantastic effort there. Raised lots of money for the Wooden Spoon charity. Shane Williams, former Wales wing, playing up the top of Everest.
Yes.
Well, right at the top. I wonder if he's ever tempted just to go on. Well, we're here now. We might as well just crack on. What an experience. You're great, right. The picture. Go and check out the pictures online. They do look fantastic.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Andy, what do you have for us?
I was talking about this letter about Vincent Kompany, the bloke wrote this to the Star. Hmm. Tim Pitway, his name is. He said, how many rich footballers wish they were Vincent Kompany scoring a goal which will be remembered forever? Well, he's not exactly poor, is he, old Vincent Kompany?
No, and he doesn't do bar work in the evenings, yeah. Does he? He seems the sort of bloke that would do that, but he doesn't need to.
No. Yeah. And I've been looking at the court circular, it's a congratulations to Mr. I.C. Packard, Miss C.J. Keck, and...
our own pair of trousers.
Well, exactly. Yeah. All her family have ventured south for the wedding. Yes, the Kecks were down.
Yeah.
Thank you. Don't try and preempt.
Yeah, chance. I'm sorry about that.
I spent hours crafting these terrible witticisms. Yeah. So there you go.
London boxing history is a little Twitter feed I follow because it just turns up some great old memories. And this was an interesting one. It said, this super drug store in Norwich's St. Stephen Street may not look much, but it was once under the glare of the world's 1971 media as a certain Muhammad Ali came to town to promote Ovaltine at a supermarket previously on the site. Such a shame, says the Twitter feed, that the plaque has been removed. And there was a blue plaque outside this super drug in Norwich that said, Muhammad Ali, world heavyweight boxing champion, visited a supermarket on this site 19th of October 1971 as part of a promotional tour for Ovaltine. And I looked into this tour and he went to Shrewsbury. He went all over the country.
The great Ovaltine tour.
The great Ovaltine tour of 71. I think we'll get our old mate Norman Giller on. He was probably with him.
It wasn't a period where he wasn't boxing, was it?
No, no, no. He was back fighting then. He was talking about the second fight with Frazier, I would imagine, that sort of era, wouldn't it? But
Yeah, 71 was that. You have to add it to the Daily Star today because everybody's talking about Archie, of course, the name Archie.
Yeah.
So for some reason they decided to do.
Well, we were going to get Steve Archibald.
Well, I think that would have been.
I mean, there's no coincidence. The kid's called Archie in the day and we go out and win in the evening. We've got to be thanking the former Spurs striker, surely.
Well, very, very true. Yeah. And but they've presented 10 fascinating facts about the Scottish football legend Archie Gemmell. What's that got to do with anything?
That's clutching at muck straws, as they used to say in the Beano, isn't it? I would think.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Paul Hawksby and Andy Jacobs here.
Nice.
On Talksport. Yeah, now, if you're a fan of Weather Report, Return to Forever, that kind of thing, you probably would have enjoyed that.
I did.
And we know about it because our next guest dropped us a line. He's Talksport listener. He's a big football fan as well, Lincoln City fan. Musician Tom Corley. The album is called Catenaccio, and Tom, it's a bit of a football flavour on a few of the songs. Good to see you. Thanks for coming in.
Oh, thank you for having me. It's a bit of a thrill. It's football themed. All the titles of all the tracks are football words.
All of them? Because we were going through this and I said they're not all football ones, are they?
Well, we're
going
to play a track later called Ungainly. Is that one particular player? Right. It's a phrase that's used in football.
Yes, it is. It's actually called The Ungainlies. And that was the singer in the band, actually, Feeney, I took her to a Lincoln match, the Checkatrade Trophy final.
Yeah.
In fact, I know you're a fan of the Checkatrade Trophy.
Yeah, we love it, yeah.
And, yeah, and it was the first football match she'd been to, and I was just talking her through. I was excited and just talking, and I was going, yeah, and then we'll queue up here and we'll, you know. And she said, oh, well, we have to mix with the ungainlies.
Blimey, she was in for a shot.
Anyway, yes, let's go through some Jebelani, that's the ball.
Yeah,
that's
correct. Yeah.
Nutmeg, obviously. Zona Mista. That's very, very Italian. That's the press area, the mix zone, is that what, or is it some football
term? I think it's a defensive...
It's more that.
Left peg, obviously. Regista. That drives me mad when people call a player a regista. It's so pretentious. Rosehead. And Rabona, you're right, they are. They're all football themed.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
So, you've got kind of interesting story. You play, is it just jazz? You do, you teach as well, don't
More
you?
Or less, I mainly play jazz. I've done a few kind of pop things. I used to play with Peter Gabriel a little bit. And I did a gig with U2.
Wow, actually,
Wow.
But that was one gig in 20 years of...
Oh, that's not bad.
You're a Ronnie Scott.
Not a bad race.
So, if the listeners are around and they're in town.
So, I guess that's the message. My band, the album's launched tomorrow, and it's launched at midnight tonight with a gig at Ronnie Scott's.
Lovely. So,
yeah, come along.
And the cover of the album is nicely drawn. We were talking about illustrations earlier. It's the group as a football team, is it, in Lincoln City colours?
In Lincoln City colours,
I can recognise you there, of course, obviously.
Yeah.
Really nice.
So what would you say, as I mentioned a couple of bands there, what they're kind of the kind of influences of
this? I think so, Weather Report, Joe Zawinul, he's a big one. Chick Corea.
Yeah. It's,
this stuff, when I was growing up, these were the first sounds, my dad's record collection. It's that kind of thing. I've always wanted to... I've been accumulating synthesizers for a few years, and I've just always wanted to do that.
So you got a few vintage ones, have you?
Yes. Yeah. Wow. Or kind of... Actually, they're more modern now. They're Oberheim OB6, which is like a vintage copy. Crikey.
Yes.
It's Talk Sport.
We'll talk a bit of music as well. We'll come on to Lincoln City in a minute.
Keyboards.
Oh, yeah, I used to.
And we were asking you, talking football, saying, did you see last night? And you said, oh, no, I didn't actually. And, oh, that's no excuse. But you were playing at Lincoln Cathedral.
I was, we were doing a kind of classical or choral meets jazz thing. And, I had to miss the Tottenham fan. I'm also a Tottenham fan. My son's a Tottenham fan. And I'm a member. We go to quite a lot of matches. I mean, he's poor chap's been to more Lincoln matches than Tottenham.
Well, you say poor chap, but it's great. It must be great to get success with your local club.
I mean, it's unbelievable. 30 years of... I mean, my first match was 87, Lincoln 0, Telford 0.
And it kind of... So memorable.
at that age. And it carried on like that.
You should have called one of the tracks that, actually. I mean, we were saying to you about Danny Cowley and his brother. They've done such a brilliant job there.
It's incredible. It really is incredible. For 30 years, it was just dross. And then we dropped into the conference, 6 years there. I'm sure I was... There were a couple of games that I was at down here, Carl Shelton away in the FA Trophy, which we lost. There's about 100 of us there.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a proud league club. You know?
It's great. You've kind of, when you've been a sort of a dew-paying fan of a team like that, where you've gone out and you've watched the terrible nil-nils and 100 people and everything, and then you get success and you start to climb through the leagues. It must be all the sweeter, I would think.
It's incredible. I was, this season, I haven't been able to go to very many matches this season. In fact, only one, because of the success. And I just can't get tickets living down here in London.
Right.
But I was at the MK Dons game, which is where we sort of effectively sealed promotion. And there were 5,500 of us there. It's unbelievable. The moment at the end of the goal where we broke and scored at the end of the game where we scored the second goal. And pandemonium. It was like your chaps, Frank and David, used to sing about 30 years of hurt.
But this
one came good.
Fantastic.
And this time in 2 years, you can come in and say, well, I can't believe we're in the Premier League.
Exactly.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah, please. Yeah, just put me in now, actually.
You can do a little gig on the pitch. That would be quite nice, wouldn't it? That's a right. Wouldn't it be nice to write the kind of walk-on music or the kind of run-out music for the team?
That would be...
Too jazzy, I think. Really, we want to get the crowd.
Oh, come on!
Really get the crowd.
Something in an interesting time signature that no one can dance to.
Yeah,
that would be good.
Yeah, it would suit the way most of them move.
Yeah. So Scott's tonight. What time are you on?
Midnight.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Midnight till two. It's jazz, you know.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. I said that. That was a great line. I said, are the tickets available? You said, oh, yeah, of course, it's jazz. You've gone in.
Yeah, but you're going to the football writers, and I'm obviously not going. So, basically, around sort of half 11 midnight, you might feel you've had a few.
Do you know what? We could finish up. I could take the producers interested.
Maybe we'll go on.
Oh, please do.
We'll come along and watch it now. I mean, I didn't get any sleep last night.
If you, the producer, and the assistant producer go and stay out to Ronnie Scott's at 2 o'clock. I can't wait for tomorrow's show.
And Chelsea are 3-0 down at half time, but come back to win. We might as well just have to have the day off. Really? Okay, look, we may well see you later then.
Oh,
Tom.
Please.
Okay. Good. Name on the door, or is it going to cost us a few quid?
I'll put your name on the door.
Oh, of course. He wasn't going to there.
I'll pay for your ticket. Ronnie's
spinning in his grave at that news. Fantastic.
Brilliant.
Well, look, best of luck with the album. Where can people find it? It's on Spotify.
Dave Roberts is funny on Twitter. He said, "Impressed that Chick Corea got a mention on the show. I'm expecting at least a Pat Metheny mention from Goffey on Drive."
Yeah, he'll do that. Lyle Mays, you'll be talking a lot of Lyle Mays, Goffey, and Adrian at 4 o'clock, almost certainly. Why is his hair so long? 087. So, where were we?
It's going to be on Spotify tomorrow. It'll be in the shops shortly after that, I think.
Excellent. But, yeah. We're going to play out with the Ungainlies. Oh, now we know the story of that. Great to see you, Tom. All the best. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you very much. Cheers.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport.
There we are. That was this afternoon's show. We return tomorrow from 1. We'll have Martin Kellner and the clips of the week and all the regular Friday bits and pieces. So until then, have a great evening. Thanks for downloading us.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.